We have a lot to talk about. The segue I was going to say between Robbie's mention of various books, classic books about war, is works very well with today's topic. Donald Trump and has decided to re-engage his inner warmonger on both the Iranian and Ukraine fronts. He was hanging out at NATO, had a little side meeting with Zelensky. Up until now, the U.S. has refused to allow Ukraine to have Patriot missile interceptors, but now that's going to change, and they're going to also buy, the U.S. will buy drones from Ukraine. That's interesting. And then also the United States and Iran and the Gulf states are back at it. Jordan is catching some missiles. You know, they're all over the Middle East, all of you, Kuwait, and et cetera. And basically, it all seems to boil down to the Strait of Hormuz. You know, this sort of the disagreement, right, which was originally it's in the memorandum of understanding. You and I both.
Thing don't matter.
And basically, the U.S. agreed, like, you know, you guys get to control the Strait of Hormuz for the, at least, you know, you control it. The Iranians are like, took that to mean, we control it. And then a couple of ships, obviously with U.S. encouragement, tried to slip past. The Iranians were like, well, we're not letting you do that. So the U.S. is like, you're starting something. You didn't reopen the Strait of Hormuz, which actually traffic is still even currently 50% higher than normal. I mean, 50% more than it was before the memorandum was signed. So but anyway, we're back at war. The ceasefire is dead. Netanyahu is celebrating. You know, I mean, the war industrial complex is doing great. Republican politicians are shitting bricks because this war is incredibly unpopular. 87% of Americans do not approve of this going on.
Just wait. They haven't seen nothing.
Though. I mean,
they haven't seen nothing yet.
You can't get 87% of Americans to agree on anything. So, I mean, that's amazing.
Speaking of that, I would wager that number will go up.
Oh,
they haven't seen anything yet. They disapprove in conscience and in essence. They are going to disapprove in fact when the reality of the inventory losses finally hit, and no jawboning from Trump will save it.
No,
like I don't think they like. Look, the reason why I kept saying this war wasn't over, and kept saying this is still a war. That I didn't buy the ceasefire, didn't buy the memorandum of understanding, is because I've seen this before. Mm-hmm. I've seen Joe Biden or Donald Trump try to run the document path, which path to Persia, where they explicitly talk about trying to put this stuff on Israel, acting as if this is Israel that's doing it, that this is not the U.S. hand in it. They try to create some disambiguation between Israel and the U.S. in rhetoric, not in fact, that Israel still is doing U.S. policy. It was U.S. policy for Israel to invade and occupy Lebanon before the war. Why would it be different during the war? It's not. Hence, the deal that the U.S. effectively pushed its puppet government to make in order to make sure Israel stays in Lebanon and even get the government to give this kind of approval of it, despite the fact it's a puppet government. They did it in order to try to carve off Lebanon from the conflict to make it as if, well, Lebanon agreed to this. In which case, Iran's thing doesn't apply, meaning it was always a violation of the agreement from day one. The memorandum was always going to be violated. It was only a stopping measure. It was a stopgap in order to let the U.S. get time to fill up the coffers of oil and energy and everything else. The problem is, Iran controls the strait. Donald Trump is too hubristic to allow that to pass. And so when Iran fires at ships with the U.S. trying to get rid of Iran's leverage, because keep in mind, that's what this is about, right? That the U.S. went for a war to destroy the state of Iran. That failed. Iran took war booty, the war booty being the Strait of Hormuz, and has used that as leverage, as an economic weapon against the United States. The U.S. is trying to find a way around and to mitigate that weapon by effectively trying to work with Oman to get ships to go through a specific corridor that the U.S. believes they can defend. The idea being, if we can get ships through the corridor, we've eliminated Iran's leverage with the Strait, and we can now attack Iran directly without Iran being able to have any kind of direct compensation.
Totally.
I don't know if the U.S. cares about its bases all that much. I just don't. I don't, like, meaning between Iran losing human beings with the U.S. murdering people, versus Iran hitting U.S. bases and trying to have this moral war where they don't go after infrastructure and those type of things and people and trying to keep a low body count and everything else. I don't know if the U.S. cares. So I don't know if these are equal exchanges in that sense. Mm-hmm. For as long as Iran keeps this kind of tit for tat stuff, I don't know if that's an equal exchange. My point is, I didn't think this war was going to end anytime
right.
soon.
You were definitely right about that. I give you full props and credit on that.
Thank you for that, Ted. I appreciate it.
No, it's true. I was wrong. You were right. It's not the first or last time that'll happen. One thing is like, okay, so let's look at the military side of this. I mean, the United States struck, according to Central Command, struck 90 targets that they said were drone and missile launchers that threaten shipping in the Strait of Hormuz in Iran. My opinion is, given the length of the capacity of Iran's medium range missiles can be launched from anywhere inside Iran, not just along the Strait of Hormuz. And so unless you're willing to launch a land invasion of Iran with about 1 million troops and
That would be suicide, by the way.
It would be suicide, and not to mention there aren't 1 million troops. Right. We have about 200,000, and they would be doing nothing else. It would be Canada's big chance to invade while we were all over there. it's just not possible. So unless you're willing to do something that is impossible, you can't. There's nothing you can do. And they say, well, we can degrade Iran's capacity. You've already degraded Iran's capacity, and you can keep degrading. But this is Zeno's paradox. You will never actually get there, right? You can't finish the job ever. Yeah. So, I mean, that's my question. The question is, does Trump know this? And then another question is, psychologically, I mean, never have we had a president we needed to analyze psychologically more than Donald Trump. I mean, the man is like, okay, this is a big question that people keep asking. And what is wrong with him? Like, in other words, what is wrong with him that he is so erratic that sometimes he seems willing to make peace and hates war and hates destruction and conflict? And other times he's recklessly willing to risk everything and blow up the entire fucking world. I mean, it's like there's two different Donald Trumps, at least. It's like what the fuck is wrong with him?
I don't think he's that complicated, to be honest. I mean, narcissism, hubris, American exceptionalism, those are the front things on a president's mind, especially a president like this. There's a reason that Trump didn't leave the war in Ukraine. He could have. He didn't. Because they would have said Trump lost it. Trump failed. This is America. Meaning Trump has this idea of American exceptionalism fused with his narcissism. So the idea that he's fighting a regional actor and the regional actor wins.
Talks to? You know what I mean? Is it just the fact that he's also surrounded by people who say things like, you know, they asked Nixon who lost China. They're going to say who lost Ukraine. Is it
probably, yes.
There's no one else.
And he probably has this inflated idea of American power. That American power can do anything. Look, I hate the fact that we're in this bombing thing. I love the fact that we are about to be inflicted with a strategic defeat, because I want the American public to kind of see we fucked up. We keep going to other countries murdering and killing people. And when we ran up against a buzzsaw, we couldn't do it, and we are paying the consequences for it. I just saw the thing about the fuel tap, basically the strategic fuel reserve. We are at the bottom. Because Donald Trump has been putting that stuff out like water for the last 3 or 4 months in order to bring down the price of fuel artificially, not to mention voicing. By the same token, though, the reason that he signed the MOU hasn't changed. Meaning, it's not like in this month we're flush with oil and gas. That's not the case at all. And in fact, people were even making the argument from the right how dumb this was, because as they point out, Iran got nothing out of the deal, short of the sanctions being relieved. Iran got nothing out of it. So the U.S. was able to widen the amount of energy and everything else that was coming out without really giving Iran what it was supposed to get under the memorandum. It was dumb. We are still in the same situation that we were a month ago when we were running out of fuel and energy. And so he has reignited this war, tore the memorandum of understanding, and the situation and the reason that he signed it hasn't changed. This is going to be a disaster. Mark my words, I could be wrong.
I'm on this point, we're not going to have, there's no space between us at all. Comments, where the gopher tortoise roam, Trump will have announced victory and restarted the war by the time you y'all gate on top.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yep. He has to. He's an American president.
Yeah.
Like, meaning, he has really internalized this idea. Like, I remember when John F. Kennedy was talking about going to the moon, Kennedy was like, well, the Soviets are ahead of us on this technology. And I listened into that. I was like, whoa, he admitted that. They would have never admitted shit like that today. And Trump would never admit he failed, he lost, and everything else. And I think what bugged him is that the media and everything else was reporting it as he lost. And even in Israel, when they asked, what do you think? We lost.
Mm-hmm.
So I think all of that stuff. Yeah, ranks,
82% you know, of Israelis say that they lost. Johnny Cockefeller, did y'all see that Bibi is now saying that Iran has chemical weapons and must be stopped? It's fucking hilarious. You know, I mean, in the Iran-Iraq war, it was U.S.-backed Saddam Hussein that fired chemical weapons at Iran.
Yes.
They fell short into Kurdish territory, and you know, that was part of the part of the brief against Saddam. That, you know, he gassed his own people. Well, he was actually trying to gas other people. But it's like, I mean, give it up. No one's listening to Bibi, except maybe Trump. Manchild, thanks for the $2. The return to the Iran war is a Hollywood producer's nightmare, a catastrophic sequel, slump of bloated costs, fractured alliances, and zero strategic purpose, proving that some franchises should never reboot.
Here's the thing. I mean, I don't know if it's Iran. The U.S. has not given this up. Like, if you're a chess player and you're a much stronger player and you're playing somebody who's weaker than you, even if they have an advantage, you're not giving up the game because from your point of view, they're weaker. They're ultimately going to fuck up and you're going to be able to capitalize on their mistakes. And you can make an argument that going into a peace trap was a mistake by Iran. Meaning, if you've noticed, the United States moved the goalposts into now saying, well, the document says that we can defend shipping. Okay, the document doesn't say that, but it doesn't stop the U.S. from claiming, well, the document says we can do so-and-so. And they can now quibble over the Strait of Hormuz, whereas before it just gave space, it gave time for the U.S. to come up with a new strategy in order to deal with Iran. They are not going to want to allow Iran to hold the Strait. The rub is escalation. And how far can you go up the escalation ladder before you get to the point of blowing up oil and gas infrastructure all across the world? That's a question for the U.S. How far do you want to push this? Do you really want to push Iran where they're blowing up, sanitation factories, where they're blowing up oil and gas infrastructure in Saudi Arabia, Qatar, et cetera, et cetera? How far do you want this to go?
And they're going to fuck shit up in Israel even more.
Yeah, at some point. Yeah. Like, how far do you want to take it? That's the question. And that's a question for Trump. And how long can you go without oil going through the Strait of Hormuz?
I mean, that's the thing is, it's like, I mean, what this strikes me as is like, look, Donald, you lost. Fucking admit it. You know, do you remember that show Tales from the Dark Side?
Oh, absolutely.
So
absolutely.
There's an episode called A Case of the Stubborns. And it's this old man who's, you know, it's a family, lives in the middle, in the country somewhere. And basically the old man dies, the grandpa dies. But he's such a stubborn bastard. He won't.
They did.
So he's like covered with flies and parts of his face are falling off into his, as he walks around. It was like, Grandpa, you're dead. You got to like stop. And that's what Donald Trump is. He's like, dude, your war died. Your country is dying. It may be dead already. It's like, you are dead. Your presidency is dead. Your party is dead. You lost this war. Donald Trump has a case of the stubborns. He just can't fucking accept it. He starts to accept it. We got to make peace. We got to make peace. And then it's like, shit, I wish I hadn't made peace. Like, it's so humiliating. Fuck. And he's insane.